Good morning. Pardon me, and the Lord's blessing. I've been on vacation, as you know. I have more to come, but not yet. However, I'm still in a vacation mood. So as a result, I'm praying that I don't fall asleep during the sermon this morning. I greatly appreciated the opening hymns that we had this morning that we've been able to sing together. I appreciate it because as I listened to the words and listened to the congregation sing, I kept thinking a sermon could be preached on every one of those verses that we sang about this morning. It just gives us such a great insight. I'm so impressed by hymn writers who are able to put their thoughts into word, sometimes into rhyme, and then someone, maybe the same person, is able to add music to it, and we are able to enjoy the words and the message and the music. It's amazing to me how the music seems to stick with us. Sometimes in Sunday school, we learned a little chorus, a hymn of some nature. And even as an adult, we remember those words. They stick in our minds. I'm reminded, of course, of the hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." What a wonderful little chorus this is. And it's something to know that Jesus loves us, that God loves us through his Son, Jesus, and Jesus paid the price on the cross so that you and I could spend all eternity with him. Well, now, you know there are people mentioned in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament that are stalwarts in the history of believing people. Caleb was one of those men. Now, Caleb was a contemporary of Joshua, and Joshua was the successor to Moses. So we're going back in Israeli history quite a distance, and we're learning a great deal about Caleb, and we have learned in the past three major items, and this morning we're going to look at a fourth item. What are the items that we learn? Caleb knew a surrendered life. He served the Lord wholeheartedly. He knew what it meant to surrender his life to Jesus. And that's what it means to you and to me, to surrender our life to him so that he will work through us rather than us trying to do what's necessary, opening our hearts and minds for the strength that comes from Jesus. We also remember that Caleb lived a spared life. He was spared. Now, do you remember there were 12 spies that were sent to scout out what was going to be the new land? And 10 came back with a major report, and 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb, with a minor report. Sadly, all the people that were there, they took the majority rule. Majority had such an influence on them. And we learned previously that the majority in any democratic situation is not always right. And that was true then, too. And as a result, those who followed their own will instead of the Lord's will, they were the ones that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and all 20 years older and who were older than 20 years, they died in the wilderness. And now it was time to go into the new land. Joshua and Caleb were spared death in the wilderness and were now going into the new land. And then we also learned that Caleb knew a strong life. Here he was, 85 years of age, and he knew a strong life. He was ready to go into battle and battle to do whatever needed to be done. He knew the Lord was with him. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could say deep in our heart and soul, deep in our mind, the Lord is with me. I know the Lord is with me day by day. Now, you and I will suffer ups and downs. It's just the way of human life. We have good days, we have bad days, we have cloudy days, we have fine days. But through it all, the Lord will stick with us. When we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, he comes in by the power of his Holy Spirit, and he indwells us forever. And our present is secured, and our eternity is secured. It's all because we transferred our trust from what we do ourselves and put our trust in Jesus, who he is and what he has done. This morning, we're going to take a look at a fourth item, and that is Caleb knew a satisfied life. A satisfied life. So let us look to the word of the Lord as we find in Joshua chapter 14, beginning to verse number 6. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 221, but the words will also be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear." Let me just hesitate there. You'll notice that Caleb said, "I brought him back a report according to my convictions." If we read the earlier chapters, we would know that Caleb and Joshua said, "With the Lord's help, we can conquer this land." But the 10 other spies who went into the land, they said, "No, we can't do that. The people are too big. The walls are too high. We just can't possibly do it." But you know that Caleb and Joshua, they had a different message to give. However, the people of Israel followed the majority. What a shame. They should have followed the minority. He says this, "I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land in which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go up out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helped me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and energized by you. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. We read in Scripture just a few moments ago, "Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance." And then at the end, we read, "And the land had rest from war." The land had rest from war. Can you believe it? There are people in our world today who are not experiencing rest from war. I think of the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine. They are not resting from war. I think of all that's going on between Iran and Israel and Gaza and other parts of that Middle East area. They are not resting from war. Many families have bomb shelters attached to their house, way deep down in the earth. Others have to travel quite a distance to find a bomb shelter. They are not experiencing rest from war. Now, perhaps we've all heard of something called the Doomsday Clock. What is the Doomsday Clock? Well, it was set up a number of years ago, and it was a hand going up to midnight. Now, midnight is when the earth will destroy itself or destroy all humankind on earth. Mankind has that kind of power today, where a couple of nuclear bombs in the right places could destroy the earth. So this doomsday clock, the hand keeps moving. And on January 28, 2025, that hand moved up closer to midnight. They said 81 seconds before midnight, before the world can destroy itself. Well, we've heard of the doomsday clock, but there was another clock, and I only heard about it this week. And that other clock was in Iran, in the capital city of Iran, and on the clock were the numbers 2040. Now, you might say, what would that be? I hadn't heard of it before, so I couldn't have told you until I can tell you now. 2040 was the year that Iran decided that Israel was going to be eliminated from the earth. 2040, the year 2040. They've been working on it for years. They put a major skirmish in there already during this past year, since October, a couple of years ago. All of this has been going, but their goal was clearly stated that by 2040, Israel would be obliterated, would be destroyed. This is a shame, but it's what they had. However, here's a little bit of good news. Most recently is in the Israeli and United States strike on Iran. Whatever you feel about it, I can tell you this, that that clock was struck and it was destroyed. It was a message from Israel that you will not win. We will not be destroyed. We are followers of the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord God Almighty has promises in store for Israel, and it is going to be restored and is in the process of being restored, even as it is now. For this, we can praise God. But there are wars going on in the world today, and sometimes there are wars that you and I have within ourselves. This is true for you and for me. There may be minor wars, there may be major wars, there may be something that really upsets us. However, this we know, being free from war of any nature is the ingredient of a satisfied life. Being free from war of any nature is the ingredient of a satisfied life. Now, this is true for you and for me. If we can be free of any war of any nature, warring within us, sometimes it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's a physical battle that's going on. But if we can be free of it, then this is the beginning of a satisfied life. Now, like all believers in Jesus Christ, we are absolutely secure in Him. We are experiencing a lifestyle that He has given to us because He is at work within us by the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, just as Caleb knew that his eternity was secure, he also knew that his present was secure because he was following the Lord wholeheartedly. And I can tell you that for you and for me, as believers in Jesus Christ, our present world, our present existence is secure in Christ when we follow Him wholeheartedly. Jesus is alive, active, and well in your life and mine if we've committed our life to Him. Caleb enjoyed the satisfaction of spiritual prosperity, the satisfaction of spiritual possessions, and the satisfaction of spiritual peace. The satisfaction of spiritual prosperity. We read, Joshua blessed Caleb. Joshua blessed Caleb. The sense that God is with you and with me, the sense that God is within us and directing us in a person's life is the first ingredient that we need for everlasting satisfaction. As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord, we have received the most marvelous gift that anyone, the most marvelous blessing that anyone could ever receive, the gift of His Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life with Him, simply because we put all our trust in Jesus. In this day and age, if someone's succeeding well and going along well, we may hear others say, he's had a bit of luck. Good luck was with him. Well, I want to tell you something. I remind you that your life and my life has absolutely nothing to do with luck. In fact, good luck is a phrase that Christians never should use. It's not something that should be in our mind. It's not luck that we are where we are. It's not luck that we live the kind of life that we live. It's not luck that gives us our eternity being secure in Christ Jesus. It's the blessing we receive from God the Father when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We want to give God the honor and glory. Whatever's going on in your life at the moment, Jesus is in you. Jesus is there by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He is leading you through whatever you are facing at the moment. He also has your eternity and my eternity secure in Him. There is a day coming when we will be with Him forever and forever. Praise be to God. Although we're examining the life of Caleb, it was not Caleb at that time who was the hero of Israel. Moses had been the hero of Israel, and now somebody else, his successor, was going to be the hero of Israel, and that would be Joshua. So we read in Joshua chapter 14, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life. just as they had revered Moses. So when Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him the land that had been promised to him, when we think about that, he was anointing Caleb and giving him this blessing. And this blessing was the land he had been promised 45 years earlier. Now that just reminds me of something. Sometimes we need to pray for something for a long time. Remember, God always answers our prayers. The answer is yes or no or wait. Yes, no, or wait. And sometimes we have to wait 45 years before the answer comes to that prayer. But nonetheless, this is a praise God item. God never forgets any prayer that is given. Now, God wants to anoint you and me with the power of His Holy Spirit. That's the greatest blessing that you and I could ever have. Yes, there are times when we receive Christ as Savior, His Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And then there are times in our life as we mature in our faith that we discover that the Holy Spirit even baptizes us in Him so that we are completely surrounded by Him. And this is indeed a praise God. In essence, the spiritual prosperity is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit in us through God the Father and God the Son. This is kind of hard for someone who doesn't believe in Jesus to fully understand, but let me just make it simple. Simple this. On our own, we try to do the right things, even though we know we're sinners. On our own, we want to earn our way to be in heaven, a better place than where we are today. And we know that's coming. But it's coming only for believers, only for people who finally say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I look to You, and You are the only one who could be my Savior. Come into my life. I ask You to come in now and make me the kind of person You want me to be. That's when the light comes on. That's when everything changes, from the way we've been to the way we're going to be, allowing God's Holy Spirit freedom to live within us. Caleb enjoyed the satisfaction of spiritual prosperity. So do we. Caleb also experienced the satisfaction of spiritual possessions. We read these words. Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron as his inheritance. The inheritance for Caleb took 45 years to come. But now he's on the threshold. Now he's moving in to the land that was promised. We have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Listen to what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now hear this. This is for you. This is for me. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. So when we receive Christ into our life by the power of His Holy Spirit, every blessing that Christ receives, we will also receive. That's why He is in heaven now, preparing a place for all who put their trust in Him so that we can live with Him for all eternity. Sometimes you and I need to remind ourselves of this truth. Of this truth, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Every now and then, we'll find ourselves down in the dumps for whatever reason. It's a really cloudy day in our life. There's something that isn't just quite working the way that it should. When we get those days, I would invite you, I invite all of us, to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and read that over again and realize that Christ is working within us and His blessings are being poured out upon us. It's not luck, it's the blessing of Almighty God. A story is told of an oil man who knew of a friend in Texas who had a huge bit of property, and he hardly had enough money to scrape things together. He had difficulty finding enough money for food. Finally, some speculators came along and offered him a fair sum of money for his property, and he took it quickly and left the property. Now, on that property, there were many oil wells. And so as a result, he didn't know it, but he was a multimillionaire, except he didn't possess it. He owned it, but didn't possess the land. He sold the land, and all the blessings went to someone else. Well, I can tell you that you and I have those deep oil wells within us. We have a deep fountain of blessing. It's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, working in your life and mine. Friends, as a hymn writer, we've all sung the hymn previously, Heaven Came Down, and Glory Filled My Soul. And he says this, riches eternal and blessing supernal from his precious hand we receive. Hear these words, riches eternal, we put our trust in Christ, and blessing supernal from his precious hand we receive. This is true. This is true when we trust in Christ. Now, Caleb experienced satisfaction of spiritual prosperity. So do we. Caleb experienced the satisfaction of spiritual possessions. So do we. The Holy Spirit in our life and all the gifts and all the fruit of the Spirit that comes with his gift. And now the satisfaction of spiritual peace. We see in Caleb's life and in the life of people of Israel, and the land had rest from war. All the people of Israel today would love to be able to say, the land has rest from war. If you come to the adult Bible class this morning, I'll have a little bit more to say about that. As mentioned previously, a scenario of war, whether on a major scale or a minor scale, is not something that we enjoy. It is not something that we want to experience. I praise God that we live in a land that, generally speaking, is war-free. Praise be to God. Who knows what the future will bring? But nonetheless, we still place our trust in Christ. However, while this is true, there's also something else that is true. The presence of war of any kind is the final evidence of peace. Now, I didn't mean the presence of war. I mean the lack of war in any life. War of any description shows to us that we have a life of satisfaction, a life of peace, without war raging within us. Spiritual warfare, however, in this world will continue in your life, in communities' lives, in nations' lives, until the Prince of Peace returns. The Prince of Peace, Jesus, he is coming back one day. Would you know that this is a surprise to even many Christians? Many Christians don't know that Jesus is coming back. They put their trust in him. They know their eternity is secure with him in heaven, but they don't know he's coming back. And he's coming back to establish his kingdom here on earth, over which he will reign for 1,000 years. And then we will have peace like this world has never experienced before. God gives us the peace, not the kind of peace that the world gives, which is peace for a while and then there's trouble again, but rather a peace that passes all understanding. And when that trumpet sounds, when that instruction is given by God the Father, God the Son is going to come to this earth, place his foot on the Mount of Olives, it's going to split apart, and he is going to then establish his kingdom here on earth. You and I will be part of that kingdom. In looking at the life of Caleb, he was in the Lord's will and under the Lord's protection. That's for you and for me. We are in the Lord's will. We are under his protection. We must never forget it. Similarly, a wholly surrendered believer can overcome the strivings of the flesh by resting in the strength and power of Christ who dwells within. Now, here are some words about Caleb. Caleb was satisfied because he was strong. He was strong because he was spared. He was spared because he surrendered. Now therein, dear friends, lies the clue. The clue is this. Surrender our life to Jesus, and Jesus will give us the strength and the peace and whatever else we require. The hymn writer, Robert Grant, said, "Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend." Let me repeat the words. Frail children of dust, that's you and me. frail children of dust, and feeble as frail. We are as feeble on our own as a frail person. That's the way it is. But in thee do we trust, nor do we ever find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. We too can be satisfied because we are strong, not in ourselves, but our strength comes from Jesus. We too will be strong in Christ because we have been spared from an eternity in hell. And we are spared when and only when we are surrendered to Jesus, the only Son of God, our Savior, our Maker, our Defender, our Redeemer, our Friend. Father, may all praise, honor, and glory be given unto you, and we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will touch absolutely every person in this dwelling this morning. You will touch us in a way that we will be drawn closer to you. Open our eyes if they are closed. Open our spiritual eyes if they are closed, that we may see Jesus and that we may put all our trust in him. This we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.